Praise the Lord, good morning. It is good to be in the house of God, amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms and let's read Psalm 62. The Psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but their curse inwardly is Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery of riches. Increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Amen. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen. God give us conclusion today to trust only on him, not on men, not on people, not on riches, not on power. Finally, he wants us focus on him, not on other things. Come, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We thank and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you, God, for this wonderful day you give us to come together as a church to pray and to be at your feet, to acknowledge your name, to invite you once again in our lives. Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to come in the middle of us. Let's ask God forgiveness of our sin. Let us confess and renounce our sins unto the Lord, so he will forgive us and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Whatever sin we have done, oppression, anger, trusting on other things, not God, let us come now to the Lord and give our life fully to him, renouncing our wrongdoing, trusting on him that he will provide for us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, Lord, we ask you, God, to forgive our sins as we are confessing, O God, as your church is confessing. Forgive and purify. cleanse and restore and bring back, O God. Yes, Lord, all the brethren here and other brethren in other places, O God, hear our prayers, O God. Listen to our cry for mercy. Let's come now to the Lord. After we confess our sin, let us ask Him our needs. Small or big things, He can only, the one who going to give us. We trust you, Lord, that you provide our things. Yes, O God. We don't trust men, we don't trust money, we don't trust power, but we trust you, Lord, that small or big things you will provide for us. I pray the fear of yours, the fear of God upon all your people, to fear you, to do what is right, to follow your ways and your word, to do justice. O God, and we trust you, O God, that you will be the one to do the right things for us. That above all powers, principalities, manpower, you will be the one to defend your cause. You will be the one to prove your word. You will be the one to break all power of darkness and power of men, authorities, and those who had raised up against your will. You will be the one to bring them now, bring them down to their knees, O God, that every knee shall confess, every tongue, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Christ is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's now pray for our families, pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for your parents. Pray for your siblings, let's pray. Thank you, God, for all your provision. Thank you for all the families. We pray for each husband to be obedient to you, to follow you, Lord, that you will be his head, and he will do your work and your will. I pray for wives to be submissive to their husbands, to do what is right and correct. Pray both of them to lead their children in the godly way, to fear you and walk in your ways, O God. Lord, you will be the one to help each and every family to shine, that the people know you through their lives, in the name of Jesus. Pray now for your workplace, your job, your boss, the people also around you, in the world that people will see Christ as they see your life. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you bless each and every work. Bless my brothers and my sisters in their workplaces. Prosper them, prosper these jobs and these places of work, so that our brethren will be also prosper. I pray they will shine, they will behave, they will reflect Christ. And I pray for each and every one of them to reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, peace, joy, gentleness, self-control, kindness, long-suffering, perseverance, generosity, humility, that people we see Christ in their lives. Oh God, and I pray also, Lord, they will be faithful in bringing to you what is belong to you, oh God. I pray they will preach your word and they will tell about you. Oh God, I pray you prosper all these places for the sake of your people. As we pray now for our friends, neighbors, colleagues, relatives, whether here and other places, the people we know, the people we meet every day, let's pray that we can minister, that we can bring the word of God to them. Lord, hear our prayers, O God. We pray that all of our contacts, relatives, friends, neighborhood, neighbors, that there'll be a people will be coming from them to you, O God, that we can minister to them, that we can bring your word to them, O God. I pray for new people to be saved in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear our cry for mercy, O God. We have no one but to pour out our spirit at your presence, to give you our burden for the new souls to be saved, O God. Yes, Lord, enable us to preach your word to our relatives, to our friends, to our colleagues. O God, hear our prayers. As we pray now for this place, that God put his church in you and other places, that the church had to stand, to Oman, to Kuwait, to Iraq, to India, to Sri Lanka, to Philippines, Pakistan, Australia, America, and other places in Africa, Sierra Leone, Malawi, Nigeria, Uganda. We pray, Lord, that you will stretch out your hand and do miracle in the name of Jesus in all these places, and give boldness to your servants, to all of us, to preach your word. And we pray, O God, you do answer our prayers for their sake, to know that you are the true God and we are your servants. And I pray also, Lord, for those who oppose, those who are harming, God, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Give them another chance, O God, to repent and come to you and start to serve you, reaching the lost, O God. O God, hear our prayers. O Lord, we pray, O God, and whatever we need in all these places, that you will provide us all our logistic needs, documentations. You will be the one to provide for us. O God, hear our prayers. Give us favor. Also stabilize us. Provide all our needs, O God, for we rely only on you. O God, prepare all of us. And we are waiting for you, O God, to come and take us with you to heaven. We trust you, O God. Lord, watch over your church. As you pray, pray for yourself, your ministry. As you pray for the church ministry, pray for all the workers, servants. O God, we pray that we continue to do our ministry well, serving you, being good examples to others. I pray that you will lead our families in the fear of you. We'll do what is right. I pray for all the pastors, leaders, elders, parents, individual members. Refill us once again with the Holy Ghost and give us the spiritual gifts that we need in our lives, O God, to bring the gospel, to bring the message to the lost souls. Help us to plant more Bible studies. We pray that you enable us to plant more congregations for the church. Add to our numbers, O God. Fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication and peace, and doing the good will of God. Help us, O God, to be in your will. I pray for more people to be reached out, more people to be water baptized, more people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Refill us once again with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I pray for message of wisdom, message of personal knowledge, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of discernment. Lord, we pray also, give us gift of evangelism. Raise up more pastors, teachers, prophets to proclaim your word and your will, O God. And I pray you perfect us. Make everyone mature and grow in Christ and perfect in Christ. I pray also, Lord, whatever need, whatever gift and skills we lack, you will provide for us. And Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray for this day worship, anoint the songs, oh God, anoint our prayers, anoint the message, the giving, all the items of our worship. Help us, oh God, to be obedient to you, Lord, to be followers of yours. Oh God, anoint this recording and make it reach the places, the people, the rest of the part of your body, the congregations of your church. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and let us worship the Lord.
Thank you. Your holy name. Oh.
Yes, Lord, have your way in me, have your way in us, have your way in your church, the Church of God. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. Thank you for bringing us to the most holy place, touching us, comforting us, speaking to us, and asking us our commitment to come to you and to serve you. We thank you, God. We bless you. Bless the rest, the item of our worship. And let your name be magnified and glorified. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us be seated in God's presence. Let us bring our tithes and our offerings and our first fruit into the storehouse of God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you give us, for what you're providing for us. Thank you for your help and your support. Thank you for the jobs. Thank you for the income. Thank you for your provision. And here we are, bring to you our tithes and our offerings and our first fruits. O God, in our vows, let your name be magnified and glorified. Thank you, Lord. Use this money, multiply it, and use it to reach the lost, and open the windows of heaven and bless your people, your church, everyone who obey you, O God, and pour out so much blessing that they have no place to keep, and rebuke the devourer in their life, and let your name be magnified and glorified. This all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We'll go to the Word of God, and today we're going to speak about Jonah, how God called him, and we will study God's calling requirement to save him. The prophet Jonah was a well-attested prophet of God. He prophesied in the time of Jeroboam, son of Joash. And what he prophesied had come true. And the word of God tells us in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 14 and verse 25, to say that about King Jeroboam, son of Joash, that he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath Hepher. Here, Jonah prophesied, and what he declared, that Israel will restore the east coast that was taken by the enemies, and it came true. He was attested a prophet, and sure he was elated, and he was happy that what he prophesied had come true. And what we learn here is that when we receive word from God, we need to have the courage to proclaim it and to tell it, because God will come to fulfill what he spoke. And sure, we will be happy when we or the brethren or the church will restore what the enemy have taken away. And also, we need to be aware that as we are happy and excited when God fulfills what we speak in His Word, it means that we are walking with Him, it means that we are listening to Him. We need to be careful not to speak things that God did not say, because God will not going to fulfill what He did not say in His Word. Now the question here, after this prophecy of Jonah, and after what Israel have taken back and what had fulfilled, was this the end of the what God have said through the life of Jonah? Was no more God had called Jonah, or certain time we achieve certain things, we restore certain things, and we think we are done? It is not yet done. There is more things in the heart of God He wants us to do for Him. And we will read now, we'll go and move to the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, the son of Amittai, and let's read what God had called him to do. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1, and let's read verse 1 and 2. It say, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Before we continue, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful time you give us to be in your presence, to be together. I pray, O God, to lead us, to guide us with your word. Teach us your ways and your commands, and help us, O God. And I pray, you restore us back to you, our brethren here and other places. I pray the message will be sharper than double-edged sword, penetrate and cleanse from sin, lack of commitment, and lack of love, lack of compassion, lack of forgiveness. I pray the purpose of sending this word to your church shall be accomplished. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here the Lord is calling Jonah again. The same is Jonah, son of Amittai, the same what we read in the book of 2 Kings. He's the same here. God wants him to go to Nineveh, great city, because their wickedness had come up to the Lord, and God want Jonah to go there and to preach the word of God to them, so perhaps they will repent and they will come back to the Lord. This is another mission God had prepared for Jonah. And always in the heart of God, there is a mission for you, for the church to go forward. We are not yet done. There is much work need to be accomplished. And let's read how Jonah responded to the work of God. And let us reflect this in our lives, reflect it in your life, in the life of the church. And let us see what he did. In verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now here, you see how there is the response of Jonah. He was irresponsible, careless of what God had called him to do. Many Christian workers nowadays, they will give deaf ear to the calling of God in their life. He called them to do something, they will move into the opposite direction to what they want. You know, here we read that Jonah went down and he bought a ticket, the fare for the ship to go. He has money, and many Christians, they, when they receive the money and the blessings of God, and spend, they will spend it on the things that God wants them to spend, they go and spend it on their pleasure, on their selfish will, and they will go into direction that is opposite of what God had called them to do. God told him, go to Nineveh. He does not like to go there. He went to Tarshish, and the word of God tells us that he went down to Joppa and went down into it. Two times mentioned went down. You know, when God calls you to reach certain people, certain missions, certain work, and you don't want to do it, you go into the opposite direction, you are going down, you are deteriorating, you are giving your back to God. And that is where here the Lord will not be silent to deal with such kind of attitude to the Christian workers whom God had blessed, God had provided, God had bestowed His blessing. Instead, they would turn their back unto Him, but the Lord will not be quiet. Let's read what He did with Jonah and what He is doing even now with the Christian workers who disobey the Lord. Ministers, workers, pastors, God will deal with them when they would turn their back unto the Lord. In verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. There was a great wind. God sent it to oppose, to stop Jonah. It was hard time, hard trial, and that's where when you do your own, when you receive the blessing of God and you don't go along with God, God will allow tempest, wind, trials, difficulties to oppose you in order to bring you back to your senses, to make you aware of what you have done wrong. Now here, you know, that what had happened should attract the attention of Jonah. Why God allowed, why this tempest? What God had told me to do now, where I am now, it means that God was opposing him, but he did not give attention. That's here the point. Many Christian workers, when God opposed him, I'm speaking to everyone. Everyone who understands what I'm speaking, that's the message is for you. When God had to bless you and you go away, God will oppose you. And when God is opposing you and you have a trial, you must realize where you had failed God, and you need to go back, be responsible, and do the work of the Lord. And let's read verse 5. Then the mariner were afraid. Then the mariner were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. See here how he is careless, irresponsible, arrogant. The non-believers is better than he. Now here the point. The non-believers, certain times, they are behaving better than the believers. To shame to his face. And many, they are now like that. The non-believers, they are crying to their God, they are praying to their God to save them. Yeah, they are lightening the ship so that the ship will not be sinking down. But what Jonah did, Jonah gave his back to the Lord. He went down and to the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He was very careless of what was going on. He was not giving heed to the warning of God. God wanted him to repent. He went and slept. That is how careless he was. And there are many. There are many nowadays in the Christian churches. They are doing the same. They are doing the same, careless about what is going on. And you know, in the book of Jonah is the book that God is dealing with his prophet. God is dealing with his servant, not with the unbelievers, with his servant who is rebellious, who does not want to humble down and obey God and submit to his will. Now here the question. Why Jonah did not like to go to Nineveh? Why he did not go and preach the gospel to them? There are a lot of reasons. Could be hatred in his heart toward them. Hatred, yes. Because the Ninevites, they invaded Israel. And he has anger toward them. And he does not love them. And he does not want to go and preach the word of God to them. Because he does not want God to forgive them. He wants God to destroy them. That is what was in his inside him. That is the wrong attitude of the worker. All these things need to be corrected. What else? Maybe he was afraid. Yes, maybe he was afraid. Because they are cruel people. Or maybe he is selfish. He does not want to spend. God had blessed him. He does not want to spend on the Ninevites. He does not want to go and spend on such mission. Or maybe he was doing his own will and his own understanding. For Jonah, it might be that the people of Nineveh is beyond salvation. There is no use to preach to them the word of God. That is his own understanding. That's your own understanding. The question here, why you go away into opposite direction of what God had asked you to do. Hatred, lack of love and compassion toward the lost souls. And that's where God is molding our heart and our life, molding our lives, that you should cherish love and compassion, forgiveness, even to our enemies. If God wants us to go, we need to go in the direction and preach the word of God to them. We should not be afraid. We should overcome fear with the prayers, perseverance, to go in the direction, and God will help us. We should not depend on our own understanding. Even prostitutes, criminals, murderers, whatever wicked they are, if God had called us to go to them and preach, we need to go and tell them we don't know whom God would change. You know, the mission of the church now is more difficult nowadays because we are dealing with people, with more people like Jonah, and we have no time to reach the lost souls. See how God was struggling with this man? He does not like to obey God. He allowed trials, he allowed these things, still he is not responding. In verse 6, Jonah chapter 1, verse 6, it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. See here, the non-believers are coming to the Christian workers. They told him, you pray, you read your Bible, yeah? The basic things he's not doing. That's here, God is rebuking us. The non-believers, now they are reminding Jonah, oh sleeper, they call him sleeper, rise up. God is using non-believer to rebuke his servant. God will use non-believer to rebuke you because you are moving far away from God. They told him, rise up, you pray, maybe God will answer. Why you are sleeping? This is a time to sleep. You rise up, repent, return back. What you have done wrong, correct the wrong thing that you did. I don't like to go to Nineveh, I don't like to go to this. Who are you to say this to God? When God wants you to move, you need to go to the people and tell them the message of the Lord. O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God. They are teaching him, they are rebuking him. He should understand that God is rebuking him, but he was giving the deaf ear to the voice of God. I pray that the message will bring the fruit that God desires. In verse 7, and they said, every one of his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They discern that the problem they are in, because there is a person, someone inside the ship had caused this problem to come. Now I want you now to compare. Let us compare now between the life of Jonah, who was in the ship, and the life of Apostle Paul, who was in the book of Acts chapter 27. Apostle Paul was in a ship. We will not read that, but you know the story. He was with the ship. He was taken to the Romans with the passengers and also prisoners. Apostle Paul told them, don't travel. This is not the right time to travel. They disobey God. But Apostle Paul, through his life, he saved all the passengers. They come to know God, they put their trust in God. But here's Jonah, the opposite. Jonah, instead of bringing people blessing, he'd be bringing troubles to the people with his hard-headedness, his stubbornness. You see here, lack of the humility. They want to cast lot to find out who is the one who caused the problem. You know, Christian workers should be a blessing to other people around him, not a trouble maker to other people with his disobedience, with his lack of commitment, with his selfishness, and with his wrong doing his own will, moving in the wrong direction, opposite to what God had taught him to do. Casting lot is a biblical, it's in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. It's a biblical way to find out the reason, the person who is causing such kind of a problem. In verse 8, then say they unto him, when they come to know it is Jonah, they approach him now. And maybe God now is using them as a last way so that he may repent. Then say they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? They start to investigate him, interrogate him. They were just with him. They were considerate with him. You know, they want to know what is going on, what is his. But his story, God led them to him, and God was using them to speak to him. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. You see here the lights? I am an Hebrew. Hebrews mean that I am strangers of this world. The meaning of Hebrew that we are strangers of this world, and we are not Christian to worldliness and the love of the world. But Jonah was opposite of this. But he tells him, I am Hebrew and I fear God. Well, was he fearing God? No. No. Many Christian workers, they will boast, I am workers, I am pastor, I am minister. But no fear of God in their life. They go into the opposite direction. He told them, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Verse 9, and he said unto them, verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Finally he confessed, in the investigation, they find out that he was running away from the Lord, and they were afraid because now it confirmed that they are in the troubles because he was running away from the presence of God. And you know, in verse 10, they ask him, "Why hast thou done this?" They are asking him, "Why you done these things?" As if God is speaking through them that he may repent and come back to the Lord. And in verse 11, then say they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the seas may become unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They ask, "What shall we do with you?" The sea becoming very angry, and it is becoming worse and worse. He should tell them, "You can, let's go back, and just drop me, then you go back to your journey." He should say this, because that is their opinion to him. What we can do? Let's read his answer, verse 12. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." He knew that this will not stop unless he will correct himself. But he is not willing to correct himself. What he told them, "Take me and throw me." Up to this point, he is willing to go into the water. See here the hard-headedness. Don't think that he is alone. Many Christian workers, same hard-headedness. Even he is willing to go through the water, but he is not willing to obey God and go to preach the gospel to the Ninevites. Verse 13, when he told them, "Throw me," the men, the non-believers, they are better than he. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. They know that he need to go back, he need to obey God. They move the ship into toward the land so they can drop him in the land. But they could not. Why God did not allow them? Because God wants him to swallow what he said. He is very arrogant, and God wants to face him what we say, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. They could not do it because the stubbornness of Jonah. Jonah was opposing God, and God was opposing him until he will repent. Verse 14, "Wherefore they cry unto the Lord." See here now, they start to fear God. And they start to pray to the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life." They are, you see here, the non-believers becoming better than the Christian workers nowadays. That's very shameful. But that's the truth. That is the truth. "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." You see here, they are asking God forgiveness because they need to throw him, because they cannot keep the ship. Either Jonah or they cannot keep the ship with Jonah. They have to throw him. They ask God now forgiveness. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Now it confirmed that Jonah was the cause. And when they throw him, it confirmed that he was the reason. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. See here, when you are stubborn and hard-headed, God can and is able to deal with you, as he have dealt here. They throw him from the ship. And also God can save people who are around, even if you are disobedient. God saved them. They make their prayers, their commitment, their vows to the Lord. Now they come to the Lord. those people. And the prophet Jonah, the war calls, that he should be the one to tell them about God, he was thrown down into the sea. And what is next? Verse 17 is saying, now the Lord had to prepare a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God continued to deal with him. That's all it stands. We'll continue next week. If you pass today trials and having problems, then know that God is dealing with you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be hard-headed. Come to the Lord and be willing to honor him. Come and be willing to do the work. Let be your desire. Give him your heart, your life. Cleanse your heart from unforgiveness, from hatred, selfishness, all these sins. I'm telling you, the fish that you are in, the trouble you are in, is because you're disobedient. God will not change his mind. God will discipline you until you repent. Come to the Lord. Tell him, forgive me my sin, Lord. I will go. I will obey. I will do the work of yours. Thank you, Jesus. Christian workers who receive and they are disobedient. Oh God, I trust you. Take your word and spread it. I believe it will be a fruit hundredfold in the life of your church and your people. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.